This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is the Honorable Angie Craig, represents 2nd Congressional District of Minnesota. She's the ranking member on the House Ag Committee and joins us in just a moment. Stephen Vaden is the nominee for Deputy Secretary of Ag at USDA on communicating with Congress.
When it comes to the actions of the department, we need to be communicating with you on a regular basis, whether it's about reorganizations, policy matters, or anything else. Because ultimately, all the department does is carry out the will of Congress. The United States Department of Agriculture has no independent authority separate of Congress. It's not established by the Constitution. It is a creature of statute. And so you have my word that we will be in constant communication, and my office in particular will be in constant communication with you about the department's initiatives.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today our special guest is the Honorable Angie Craig. She represents the 2nd Congressional District of Minnesota and is ranking member on the House Ag Committee in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tony. Great to be here.
All right. For those who don't know the 2nd District of Minnesota, how do you describe it? What will we find?
Well, I've got 40% of this district is covered in corn and soybeans every single summer. And you better bet it is knee high by every 4th of July. We also have a lot of turkey growers here in the district. We've also got a lot of hog producers in the district. And so it's a bit of a suburban, rural kind of congressional district, but I absolutely love it.
By the way, congratulations on becoming the ranking member of the House Ag Committee. And you've been a member of the House Ag Committee for some time.
Since the minute I got to Congress about 6 years ago, Colin Peterson was a mentor of mine, is a mentor of mine. And I told him if I ever got to Congress, I wanted to be on this committee. And the reason, Tony, is pretty simple. My grandfather was a farm foreman. He farmed rice, he farmed cotton, some beans down in Arkansas growing up. And his farmer lost the farm in the 80s farm crisis, and my grandfather lost his job. So I have a deep admiration for people who feed, fuel, and clothe this country, and I wanted to be here to fight for them.
The 2018 Farm Bill obviously passed back in 2018, but really wasn't intended to be a 7-year Farm Bill. It was intended to be a 5-year Farm Bill, and we've already found some problems, even though we continue to see it extended for another year and another year to provide a safety net. It's really not getting the job done. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's exactly right. The Farm Bill did not get across the finish line in the last session of Congress. In fact, Republicans didn't even bring it to the House floor after it came out of the committee. And today, where we are is it's not where we were even a couple of years ago, because input costs have gone even higher. And commodities prices for most folks has gone down. So, you know, I know we need a farm bill. We need a 5-year full farm bill. And unfortunately, right now, my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are intending to do what I'm going to call a piecemeal deal as part of the budget bill that's coming up here in Washington over the course of the next couple of weeks. So they want to plus up reference prices and crop insurance, which, you know, I agree needs to happen, but it needs to happen as one of 12 titles in the Farm Bill. If it doesn't happen through a traditional 5-year Farm Bill coalition, then commodities are going to be pitted against one another, and we just don't want that.
You have opportunities to visit with those outside of agriculture, and they may find it interesting to learn that there are 12 titles to a Farm Bill, including sections like rural development.
Well, I do think rural development is a really important part of the Farm Bill, and one that gets overlooked because, you know, it's not just the family farm, it's the community that farm economy supports, and whether that's rural hospitals, which can be so important in one of the leading employers in a community, or whether that's, you know, just being able to get access to farm credit. It's a big country that we have the privilege of living in, and we have a diverse set of stakeholders. And we also have, you know, hungry folks in our country, veterans, seniors, children. And remember, the Farm Bill also includes the nutrition title. And that nutrition title isn't, you know, just feeding hungry people. It certainly is that too. But that's $30 billion in farm income. That's spending that goes into truckers being able to drive food to the store, the retailers that sell it. And I think we forget sometimes that the nutrition title is really important to the farm economy as well.
We're talking with the Honorable Angie Craig, representative from the 2nd District of Minnesota. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, the Honorable Angie Craig, representing the 2nd District of Minnesota, ranking member, House Ag Committee. Okay, our conversation earlier focused on your role in the House Ag Committee, talked about your district back home, and the importance of a farm bill and getting a new farm bill across the finish line. But part of that is kind of linked to the nation's debt and some of the budget issues here. So I'm just kind of curious, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I've been working on this for a number of years now. Gus Villarakis, a Republican colleague of mine, he and I, we had a bill that would stop states who are making improper Medicaid payments. Right now, it's just crazy to think that Medicaid doesn't check its death records each, the Social Security death records when it pays out. And so we had a bill that would help do that. I have a bill right now that would knock down the federal debt by about $9 trillion over several decades. It would extend the life of Social Security and have our seniors stop paying taxes on Social Security. So there are a number of different ideas, but to be honest, and I want everybody, I know there's a lot of folks out there in farm country. I worked with President Trump the first time he was president. He signed 4 of my bills into law, but the package, the tax package they're putting together right now, according to outside estimates, is actually going to increase the federal debt by trillions of dollars because you can't cut enough from SNAP, from Medicaid to offset the tax benefits that they're going to hand out. And frankly, mostly to the top 5% in the country. So, you know, I just say to everybody, you know, go into this, look at the data. I think we've got to get a hold of the national debt. I think we got to get a hold of the nation's fiscal situation. But this tax bill, there are two sides of this. There's spending and there's taxes. And I don't want any administration to increase taxes on family farmers or change stepped up basis. But at some point, we got to realize we have a tax and spend problem in this country.
Earlier, you mentioned the president and he campaigned on tariffs, saying he loved tariffs. It's a beautiful word. So on that topic of tariffs and trade, obviously trade vital for U.S. ag. Thoughts?
Well, the president campaigned on tariffs, and I'm not sure a lot of folks knew exactly that tariffs are basically a tax that's going to be added to Americans in most instances. I agree that there should be some strategic tariffs in place. For example, China dumps illegal goods into America. We ought to tariff them back. But when you start doing across-the-board tariffs, even on our friends, what happens, we all know, is the first retaliation comes to the ag community and the ag economy. It's what happened the first time around when, in the end, around $30 billion in American export sales got hit from the ag economy. That's on its way to happening all over again. In Minnesota, for example, 66% of our soybeans are exported outside the United States, over a third of our corn, and there just aren't currently enough domestic markets to make up for that. So, you know, supply chains cannot change overnight. They can over time. And I sure wish that the administration would measure twice and cut once, but that doesn't seem to be the style right now.
Solving problems. I think that's kind of interesting. You talked about crossing the aisle and working with members of the opposite party. There is a bipartisan problem solvers caucus. You're a member of that.
Well, we're not solving many problems right now, unfortunately, but it's a group of Democrats and Republicans. We have to have equal numbers in the caucus, and we look for opportunities to work together. Of course, the two parties are going to, you know, have a lot of differences, a lot of policies we can agree on. But boy, I find a lot of common ground when it comes to, you know, for example, extending E15 year round across the country so that people could build the infrastructure in place. I find a lot of common ground on raising the, you know, available credit for new and beginning farmers. I find a lot of common ground on ag labor issues. And so we look for what we can work together on, and we, I guess, forgive each other for the things that we don't agree on. And at the end of the day, if there were more problem solvers or people actually trying to solve problems in the Congress, the country would probably work a bit better.
Again, it's the Honorable Angie Craig from the 2nd Congressional District of Minnesota. Hope you'll come back and see us soon.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Ranking Member, House Ag Committee, Representative Angie Craig. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, the Honorable Angie Craig, Ranking Member, House Ag Committee. All right, Greg Ibanal is a farm economist with Kansas State on energy.
Gas is probably even more closely tied to the oil price than what diesel price is. So for the gas price, certainly a strong correlation there. The gasoline prices are certainly lower than they were, too. Gas is a little unusual, though, compared to the other fuel like diesel fuel, because gas follows a definite seasonality. You always see higher prices, almost without exception, almost always from Memorial Day to Labor Day. So that's tended to we see the peak in the gas prices, and then it tends to decline during the wintertime. Diesel has a little bit of seasonality, but it tends to be more in the spring and fall. Really, if farmers are buying fuel on an as-needed basis, they're probably buying at the peak of seasonality for diesel, although the diesel seasonality is not near as strong as what the gasoline one is.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Experience the power of Enfinity this spring. Loveland Products' newest nitrogen management innovation is available now, with three modes of action to boost naturally occurring nitrogen in the root zone and support your crops through the season. Step into a world where nitrogen comes naturally. Take advantage of this product by visiting lovelandproducts.com/infinity or contacting your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey, meteorologist, USDA.
Speaking of the corn and drought numbers, this 20% of the U.S. corn production area in drought near the end of April, compared to 4 weeks ago, that number was 39%. And before planting began back in the late winter, early spring, the corn production area in drought had been as high as 60%, reflecting that the pre-planting conditions were a lot drier than they are now. We did see some of that rapid planting because soils had been relatively dry, but at this point we're starting to pick up enough rain that we are seeing a slowdown in some of those planting activities. Very similar picture as you move to the soybean numbers and looking at those for the end of April, just 15% of the U.S. soybean production area in drought. Compare that to 33% just 4 weeks ago and a late winter, early spring high of 50%. So again, reflecting the reason why we did have some quick planting early in the season that has now slowed a bit as rains have picked up markedly across the Midwest.
It's the Agribusiness Report.